the Gospels will say it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Word of God. As many of you know, this has been my first complete week in seminary. And as I wrote this sermon, I thought about writing it completely in Hebrew and speaking. Now, that's funny because if I make it through Hebrew, that'll be a miracle, God. So I assure you there's no Hebrew in today's sermon. An interesting statistic I found was that 75% of Americans said that they felt depressed after the terrorist attack on 9/11. How are you all feeling today? You probably remember exactly where you were or what you were doing when you first heard the news. But today, on the 15th anniversary of September 11th, where so many people were lost, so many public safety officials ran into places where other people ran away from, instead of reminiscing like many will, I want to ask and attempt to answer a question this morning that no doubt has puzzled many since that tragic day. How can we become better rather than bitter as a result of 9/11? Scripture tells us to overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. We know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So how do we combat that? We have to overcome any tendencies into discouragement, frustration, or hurt. We have to let us take the offensive instead of just proceeding along like robots who fail to utilize the power of God's promise, as told us in Romans 12, verses 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word overcome, it means to mightily prevail over, to master, to be victorious. We have a choice in every situation to either be a victor or to be vanquished. Too many Christians are failing to experience consistent victory over their anger. Fear, self-centered responses are likely responses to adversity. But Jesus tells us that he wants us to experience his life in all abundance. But so many Christians today are allowing themselves to be defeated by what occurs in the world. He who overcomes with the good of patience, forbearance, kindness, and those who have wronged is better than the mighty. As we move along this morning, I've written down a few guidelines I think that's important from the Bible to overcoming evil with good instead of succumbing to the power of evil that looks to defeat us every day. Overcome with praise to God. You are already a conqueror through Christ who loves you. That's told us in Romans chapter 8. Thank God for making you a conqueror over sin, human desires, and evil through the power of Christ who lives within each believer. As the famous old song reminds us, there is victory in Jesus. And Courtney will tell you, I walk around our house singing, victory in Jesus, all the time. I don't know why, it's always stuck with me, as since I was a kid. We just need to appropriate the victory we already enjoy in Christ by being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor is not in vain. Too many Christians fail to appropriate, recognize, and utilize the power of Christ to help them do everything God asks us to do. We cannot experience what it is to be an overcomer unless we recognize and thank God for what we already have in our identity. Praise God for giving you his overcoming power as a member of his body. Next, we have to overshadow any opposition with the Lord's mighty power. To overshadow something is to let it appear much more prominent or important than it really is. Be like Mary, who learned how to let the power of God overshadow any negative criticism, misunderstanding, or misconstruing of the facts which he was told in the Gospel of Luke. Nothing is impossible with God. The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud, and the holy offspring will and shall be born to you." And when we move on from that, we have to remember to overlook another's fault. To overlook is to fail to notice, to ignore, and to look beyond. Everybody's favorite book in the Bible, Proverbs, or Psalms, tells us, in Proverbs, actually, chapter 19, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." Learn to be bigger than any problem through the power that Christ gives you. And in a day when lawsuits and people are quick to demand their rights, Paul tells us in the Bible that we are not to take vengeance into our own hands, but leave room for God's wrath. We are to overcome with forgiveness that will break the cycle of retaliation, and it will lead to reconciliation. The alternative is terrible, because returning evil for evil hurts us just as much as it hurts its opponent. Forgiving another person frees you of the heavy load of bitterness that defiles many in society. Choose to be better rather than bitter in every situation. And let's overflow with love, hope, joy, and faith. Overflow means to abound exceedingly. And to overflow means to extend beyond the limits by going over the brim of the vessel. David wrote in the 23rd Psalms, "My cup overflows." People who allow the Spirit of God to empower them will have the spiritual resources that allow them to overflow with kindness, patience, and will have a harvest of righteousness. People who are overflowing of the fruits of the Spirit will be able to replace any negative tendency with faith, love, and peace. A person who is in close communion with our Lord, His Spirit and His Word will overflow with every joy listed: peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Christ's mighty power is working in you and through you. Paul wrote in Philippians, "I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength." Plug into the power source of Christ's Word, His presence, and His love, so you will not give in to temptation, to responding out of your flesh instead of Christ's power in you. He who began a good work in you is able to complete it. We learn that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Do not doubt, fret, or get sidetracked by unimportant problems that are like the insects that can be warded off with Christ's powerful repellents. God told Zerubbabel — that's an awful name to say, Zerubbabel. Just a little side note, I did watch a YouTube video of a preacher that preached on this, and to watch him go over it made me feel a lot better. Zerubbabel said that, "Not by power or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, mountains will be removed." You have to overrule with the power of the Holy Spirit's presence and perspective. The Spirit of God and the Word of God have enough power to help you overrule any opposition to God's kingdom. Cast all of your cares upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteousness to be defeated. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, as I have overcome the world. I will send you another Comforter to be with you. He will guide you into all truth, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Right actions, friends, overcome and often lead to good feelings. Do not wait until you feel like being an overcomer to practice these things we're taught in the Bible. Don't overinflate negative pressures. Too many problems get overblown because individuals inflate the importance, the difficulty, and the power to cope. People who allow a minor offense to be blown out of proportion are succumbing to their emotions. instead of thinking objectively about their Christian responsibilities. And we try, but we don't, overstate our difficulties. Some people have a tendency to state too strongly or exaggerate their hardships. Realize that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it tells us that no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. But God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With each temptation, He will provide a way of escape so you will be able to bear it. And friends, try not to go overboard by showing extreme fear, intimidation, or anger at the enemy. Know that he is defeated because of the great work that Christ has performed on our behalf. The forces of evil have to flee when we breathe the holy name of Jesus in prayer. We exercise the authority of the believer by commanding the forces of darkness to be bound by the power of the name of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We declare that God's power is greater than any problem. And we recall, as it said in 1 John, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And on this September 11th, remember, do not be overwhelmed by what you are up against. To be overwhelmed is to allow oneself to be overpowered with emotion, burdens, or excessive negative thinking. Remember that the power of Christ is far greater than any opposition force. Joseph detailed for us in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good, for the saving of many lives. We all need to utilize the 50-20 vision. Let us praise God for the fact that the saving of many lives. He does work all things together for good, as long as we are loving Him and fitting Him into His plans. And just when you think problems or predicaments or opponents are too great for you, thank God for the faith and the victory that overcomes this world. John wrote, whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even in our faith. Who is that that is victorious over the world and who conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who trusts, adheres, and relies on fact. It's hard, but we try not to be overly critical of evil people. Jesus said, before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, first remove the log from your eye. What is the source of conflict and quarrels among you? Is it your own desires? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You do not have because you do not ask of God. What you ask, you do not receive because you ask the wrong motives, so that you spend what you get on your pleasures. But God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James tells us that. Submit to God, and the devil will flee from you. Allow the Lord to determine what is best for you instead of insisting on getting your way. Let the Lord judge people in His own way. As hard as we try, we tend to overemphasize our hardships. People who talk or think too much about the negative aspects of life are apt to forget about the part of the glass that is half full of positives. And as we discussed on this Sunday morning in Sunday school, there are positives that have been taken away from September 11th, as hard as that is to remember. Remember how Moses refused to allow the people of Israel to overemphasize their difficulties when he led them to the Promised Land and through the Red Sea experience? Think about that when you compare it to your own hardship. And friends, don't hesitate to take the offensive. Remember what David said to the enemy, Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17? You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel whom you defy. The Today, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you in our hands. It's interesting. The greatest growth of missionary activity in the United States came right after World War II. People who were suddenly made aware of the fields that were ripe for the harvest of Christians. Let us pray that there will continually be the same kind of movement after 9/11 was in 2001. If you look, churches grow stronger. And we have grown stronger since that tragedy. We are to be moving forward for Jesus Christ and the advancement of his kingdom in both qualitative and quantitative measures. Proverbs 21 says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Be assured that you do and need adequate preparation for the ministry of God. And finally, friends, as I end today, be overjoyed in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And as Paul wrote in Philippians 4, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust also in him that he will bring things to pass. Commit your way to the Lord, and he will do it. Be thankful for the good things you have. The good things you have are many, or for many, just a dream. Another interesting statistic is that more than 2 billion people will live on $1 a day. 2 billion people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks to God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And remember, it is not by power or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. If we do all of these things, then we can truly rejoice in the fact that we have not been overcome by evil, but have overcome evil with good.
I believe in God the Father Almighty.